It is commonly agreed that practicum-based learning is essential for success in a variety of different careers. This is especially true for educators who already get great experience through this process at Washington State University. Yet many pre-service teachers feel unprepared to work with culturally and linguistically diverse students. Enter case-based instruction, which Assistant Professor of Educational Psychology Kira Carboneau says could give an authentic classroom-like experience to these pre-service teachers. Education Eclipse starts now.
Education, news, and research. These are the conversations happening inside education, athletic training, sports science, and sport management that are going to transform each. It's Education Eclipse from Washington State University.
Here on Education Eclipse, and I'm so pleased to join Kira Carboneau, who's one of our phenomenal faculty members. Now, I'm setting the bar really high now, just FYI. You can't tell she's laughing over there. Really, she's nervous. So, Kira, you are the Barry Family Fellowship recipient for 2017-2018. And let's just set the stage for what that means. So the Barry Family Fellowship is a little more prestigious than the typical faculty funding award, and it's associated with a greater outcome expectation, so you have to do a little bit more, but you also get a little more money, which is nice. And it's named for Joan and George Barry. Joan Barry is on our advisory board, and she's been a huge supporter of our college. So thank you to the Barrys, first of all, throw that out there. So you're the recipient of the Barry Family Fellowship, and the research that you've done in conjunction with this is something you shared at WCU Showcase. So I guess give me the very broad overview first, and then we'll dive down into specifics over what your research was under the Barry Family Fellowship.
Great. Well, first we need to mention that I had several co-authors on the Barry Fellowship.
Oh, we don't need to worry about them. They so just throw them.
Yeah. No, Brenda Barrio, Yulia Ardasheva, and Sarah Newcomer. They all put in with the application for the faculty funding that we all received the award for. So we're all Barry Family Fellows. And it's an interesting collaboration because we all come from very different backgrounds in our educational experiences. And so we were able to pool our expertise to come up with this project and this idea of providing pre-service teachers with authentic classroom scenarios to help them or expose them and help them learn about culturally responsive teaching and practices that we can use in the classroom and know that not every situation has one right answer.
I appreciate that you mentioned that you have four individuals here with varying backgrounds. It's hard to talk about culturally responsive teaching and other practices and not have a diverse group of people that are this helping with this project. So that's great. So when you say authentic classroom experience, mm-hmm. I know that no matter how well you prepare people, generally speaking, for the classroom, students get out there and then all of a sudden the harsh realities of life happen and here they're confronted with their own classroom, right? And some do extraordinarily well, and we as a college do prepare them well. But what is the challenge with the whole culturally responsive needs that are out there? I mean, what's the issue that we face?
Teaching about culturally responsive practices is different than, for example, teaching someone how to add or teaching someone how to teach someone how to add. There's very concrete strategies that we can use to help young children learn how to add, but culturally responsive teaching requires us as educators of pre-service teachers to help them expose them to a belief system that might be completely foreign to them, to expose them to the idea that what we set as expectations in the classroom may need to shift or change depending on the students that we have in our classroom. And that shifting and changing isn't a bad thing, that these are actually helping every student succeed.
Yeah, it is difficult to teach people to teach people. I can tell you as a student growing up, I was difficult to teach. I think I probably sent four or five teachers into early retirement. So we know that the practicum-based learning, the practicum model is important to give them that experience. But through this research that you're doing, what are these students doing that is vastly different?
Well, in a utopia world, right, we would have our students in education be in the classroom from the get-go? Because you mentioned as they walk into the classroom, it hands-on experience is the best. But what we have found is that we can't do that, probably logistically, financially. So we need to come up with different ways to expose them to many different scenarios. So the students that were in this study, there was two conditions. One group saw case studies, real life examples of teaching that brought in emotions, that brought in teachers' frustrations, that brought in other students in the classroom and try to hit them from as many different perspectives of what was going on in the classroom as possible. So they read that, that's what we've kind of termed as authentic. They read these case studies, as some students did, and then they had to respond to what would they do, what did the teacher do in the case, and then what would they do differently. Other students read textbook excerpts of the same information, and we wanted to see if showing them these practices or ways to respond in a culturally responsive way, could they pick it up through the authentic classroom rather than just reading about it in a textbook excerpt, so that when they go out into the classroom, they might be able to recall, think about what the teacher in their case did and how they might differ from it. So hoping to kind of anchor what they would do in this emotional response that's easier to pull out when you're teaching.
How did you measure improvement or some kind of progress? I mean, from the beginning to where they were later?
So we did it on several different measures. One was this the idea of self-efficacy, or your belief in your ability to do something. So we asked them a series of questions on how do you feel, how prepared, or how do you feel about your ability to work with students who are different from you. So we have that scale. And we asked that again at the end, and we saw students who viewed the case had increases in their self-efficacy. We also had them evaluate a case. So some people saw cases and then some people saw texts. And then we present them with a new classroom scenario and we ask them to evaluate it. And we're in the middle of scoring those. But what we're hoping for is that each time they saw, this was a 5-week study, each time they saw a case, that they were able to pull out more strategies each week. And so we are finishing that up right now. Some of the funds that we have left over will be used in the summer to really code that data and see how they did.
Your initial findings indicate that case-based instruction could potentially be extremely promising. So what are the next steps then? Where do we go from here?
We always like more money, but the next steps are really to find out what are the mechanisms behind the case that are working. So a component that we have nested in this study is case-based instruction isn't new to education. So as I was being prepared to be a teacher, I learned from case studies. I had to write case studies. I had to look at one student and talk all about that student. But what we don't know is, can we teach culturally responsive practices through this? So that was what this did. And then we also don't know all the mechanisms behind why case-based instruction is really good, or this idea of presenting authentic classroom scenarios. So we want to now see, will students do better with collaboration of looking at a case study? Do they need expert teacher responses? Do they need to see a textbook and then a case? So there is many new directions that we can go now that we know that this kind of textbook to case is better, but how can we enhance that learning even more?
Just as somebody who was in the classroom, you know, what was the hardest part about teaching? And I'm guessing that that's not what drove you to become a faculty member. You said, I just can't handle it anymore. These kids
actually
are nuts.
That question is why I became a faculty member, because most of my teaching is from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I had populations of students in my classroom that would leave to return to Mexico to go work the fields and then come back. So I had kind of this constant turnover. And what I realized is the strategies that I was taught during my education, undergraduate, didn't help me. I didn't know. I was also taught to be colorblind. This is a phrase when I was going through my education undergraduate that I was told that, you know, you treat everybody equally. And at the heart of it, yeah, you treat everybody equally, but, you know, giving everybody the exact same instruction, giving everybody the exact same attention actually doesn't allow everyone to succeed.
It's not culturally responsive.
It's not culturally responsive, and it doesn't account for each individual in your classroom and what they might need to be successful. So I actually felt that I wasn't serving my students very well. So I went on to my master's thinking that I would go into leadership, and leadership would be the route for me, and I would be able to help that way. I found that leadership was not my my personality and didn't allow me to go back to how we should best teach students. And so that led me to educational psychology, the theory and the application of those theories to the classroom. And that's actually what my research agenda is to find what instructional strategies best promote student learning, and to know that instructional strategies need to come from a culturally responsive background.
I would hope that after all the research you're doing, it's actually also making you a better teacher, right, in your classes?
Absolutely. And so my statistics class that I teach, you know, knowing phrases that I use or the outcomes that I expect, they vary across many students. So not that their expectations are lower, but the products that they sometimes turn in look vastly different.
Cool. The College of Education has been a leader in culturally responsive teaching practices, diverse and equitable teaching, social justice. This is awesome. I really like the thought that some of our pre-service teachers are going to get a little more capacity. So when they go out and start teaching, they're going to be better equipped than you were in Albuquerque,
yes.
Right?
So that's my goal.
That's your goal. It will be your success. So thank you so much, Kira, for sitting down with me.
Great, thank you.
You've been listening to Education Eclipse, a College of Education podcast from Washington State University.